if we want to overcome the darkness in our lives, the darkness that creeps in, the things that we struggle with, the things that are hard for us, we have to be willing to do something, to change something, to try something different.
And I'm convinced that the human spirit was not designed to simply maintain normal. Somewhere along the line, we forget that our job wasn't to maintain normal. Our job was to step into an unprecedented future, where God continually presses us into what's next.
God will never ask you to respond to a call that doesn't already speak to the best part of you, the part of you that was designed for greatness, that deep down knows that there is something more.
Hey, and welcome to the Mosaic Pomona podcast. I hope that you enjoy this week's talk and want to invite you to join us live on Sundays at 10 a.m. at the Glasshouse Concert Hall in beautiful downtown Pomona. Or you can join the conversation at www.mosaicpomona.org. You can also download the Mosaic Pomona app on iTunes or Android and keep up with the conversation and community there. If you would like to financially support this podcast and the ongoing movement at Mosaic Pomona, visit us online at mosaicpomona.org/give or check out the giving option on the Mosaic app. Enjoy this week's talk.
Father, I thank you for the moments where you surprise us and you shock us with your presence. Those places that seem like we're at the end or finished. Those moments that seem like it's hopeless, and then you show up with your light and your love and your hope and your freedom. I thank you that you meet us in the most unusual of places, like nightclubs, preparing to do music festivals. And God, I thank you that you long to journey with us. And in that process, you transform us into the women and men that you dreamed for us to be, so that we might live out the life that you've called us to live, so we might experience the adventure of this thing called life. So I thank you that you are good, and we can rely on that. I thank you that you have given us everything we need for life, and life to the fullest. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've been around the conversation here at Mosaic for very long, or if you've listened to the podcast, you know we talk a lot about the spiritual reality that we all live in. And it's interesting, as I have conversations with different people, my group of sphere of friends and people that are in my vicinity tend to be very diverse in terms of their thinking, their politics, their views on the world and on humanity and themselves. And I'm always fascinated when I come across people who find out that I'm a pastor and they immediately say, oh, I'm not a very spiritual person. I don't understand what that actually means, because I believe that every single human being is a spiritual person. To me, the equivalent of saying I'm not a spiritual person is like, oh, no, I'm not one of those persons who breathe, you know, because there is a side of every single one of us that is, in fact, spiritual. And when we talk about spiritual, what we mean is the part of us that's invisible, the part of us that can't be seen or touched or felt or smelled. It's the part of us that is unseen, yet is unmistakably us and who we are. It's probably who you're most familiar with, your spirit. And strangely enough, it's what other people are most familiar with. We experience your spirit in the form of this physical body that it is in, but we know one another by the spirit that lives in us. And of course, we live in this paradox that we are both physical beings and spiritual beings. That we are, it's not like 50% or 50%. Strangely enough, we are 100% physical and 100% spiritual. I don't know how that math works. I just know it does somehow. But in the middle of that, we find ourselves there, that we are completely physical beings and completely spiritual beings. It's why when someone passes away, we mourn that something's been lost, right? We don't take grandma's body after she's passed and prop it up in the living room and say, glad she's still with us. Because we know that there's something that has exited the building. When someone passes away, we know that there's a spiritual dynamic that has left that person after they have passed on. That's why we even use that phrase, passed on or passed away, because we know that there is part of them that is dynamic, part of them that is essential, that has moved on in the middle of this. And we get messy in life when we forget this reality, that we are both spiritual and physical. Because just like you can forget to work out your physical body, you can also forget to work out your spiritual body. Just like you can neglect your physical body, you can also neglect your spiritual body. And on the same side, just like you can work out and transform your physical body, our spirit was also made to do the exact same, to be transformed as we work with it. Yep. In Matthew, he tells us this. Jesus tells us that we are to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to us. When Jesus talks about the kingdom, what he's talking about is this invisible spiritual reality that we all live in. And he says, look, seek first my kingdom, seek first the spiritual, and then you'll find yourself having everything that you need here in the physical. I know that for the most part, our human default is to do the opposite, right? To seek out everything that I need here in the physical, money, time, energy, resources. And once I get that together, then somehow I'm going to have this dynamic spiritual experience, right? But what I love is that he says, look, there's nothing that you need to do to acquire things to get here. He just says, seek first this kingdom that is available to you, and everything will be added onto you. See, this is what we were designed to do as human beings. We were designed to materialize the spiritual into the physical. That's what we were designed to do, which is why Jesus says, seek first the spiritual, and then you will be able to materialize that here in the physical world. Another way to think about this is that we as human beings, we first think and then we create, right? We have an idea and then we go do it. We imagine a future available for ourselves, right? We have seniors that have just graduated and we've been talking to them about what they're gonna be doing in the next few months. And they have this vision of a future that they're stepping into, a career, a college they're going into, an experience, a degree that they're heading towards. They think, create, dream with their spirit, and then they go materialize it in the physical by going to school, living that out, being in those spaces. And so we were designed to do just this. To dream, think, imagine, and then transform the spiritual into the physical.
Right.
Now, let's play a little game here together, all right? So I'm gonna say some words, and I want you to either say physical or spiritual, all right? Just so we're on the same page, knowing where we're headed, all right, with this. So we'll start with an easy one. So all your job is to say is physical or spiritual, all right? The chair you're sitting on.
Physical.
You guys are on top of it, all right? Your clothes.
Physical.
Friendship.
Spiritual.
Love.
Spiritual.
Your cell phone.
Physical.
Spiritual. Hope.
Spiritual.
Love.
Spiritual.
Thoughts.
Spiritual.
Hair.
Physical.
Joy.
Spiritual.
Attitude.
Spiritual.
Your eyes.
Physical.
Fears.
Spiritual.
Dreams.
Spiritual.
Your hands.
Physical.
Words. What? So that's a hard one, right? Where do we place words? Where do we place the things that come out of our mouth? Because on one hand, they are very physical, right? We can actually read a book and look at the text of ink that's placed there. And what you're hearing from my voice right now is sound waves that are physically moving and taking your eardrum, beating it back and forth, and creating an experience inside of your head. So there's a very physical reality to them. But words also live in this very spiritual dynamic. Words live in both of these spaces that we live in. See, we first think, and then we express with our mouth. And I don't know about you, but those thoughts sound a lot like what comes out of my mouth. Sometimes what comes out of my mouth is the first time I thought about it, but that's a whole other problem. But it seems like words fall somewhere between the physical and the spiritual. And from my perspective and what I read in the scriptures is that our words are a gateway to the spirit. That they're like a doorway, a pathway that allows us to step into the spirit, and vice versa. They're a gateway that allows the spiritual to enter into the physical. Our language is the pathway that separates what is spiritual from what is physical in there. Because here's the thing. You only know someone's spirit by the words that come out of their mouth and what they materialize from that space. You can't really be in relationship with anyone without some type of communication that takes place in there. Even actions that they perform are processes that take place as a result of the words that are going on inside of their head. I'm thinking about needing to be compassionate, and so now I go be compassionate because I have thought about those things here and now. See, the way you speak is the way that we know you, the way that you know me, the words that come out of my mouth. See, I can't say hateful things towards someone and then say, no, I'm not really a hateful person, right? It doesn't work. It doesn't jive in that because we only know what is actually physically coming out of your mouth. This shouldn't surprise us. I know some of you are probably a little nervous right now thinking this sounds really new age, but I want us to turn to the very beginning of scripture. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 1. If you don't have a copy of the scriptures, you can raise your hand. One of our team members will come around. We'd love to give you a Bible. It's our favorite thing to give away, Bible. So if you need a copy of the scriptures, just raise your hand. But turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 1. And it says this: "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Then God said," spoke, used words. "Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." I love this moment in the scriptures, that God speaks and it is so. That the material that God used to create with from the very beginning of time was his words. I mean, you almost in this moment see God like an old man in a workshop creating some masterpiece that he's about to present to the world. And he finds himself there. And I don't know about you, but in my mind, it might be more cool to have like a wizardry shop, you know, with like a little bit of this and a little bit of that, put it all together. And that seems more like the picture. But what I love is that in the moment that God used his words, he spoke them out and it was so. He said, "Let there be light," and light came. He said, "Let there be birds in the air," and he spoke the words and they materialized. He said, "Let there be fish teeming in the ocean," and he spoke and they materialized. He spoke those things into existence. It is one of the reasons why in the scriptures he is called the Word, the Logos in the Greek. And he says, he is the Word. And it says that the Word became flesh, that the spiritual became physical in Jesus, that God, who spoke everything into creation, became flesh. And in that moment, the spiritual was translated into the physical, this word of God made known to us. Now, the scriptures, right after this moment, says that we, you and I, are made in God's image, that you and I bear his likeness, and there's a thin slice of God that exists inside of us. And so it should not be surprising that God has actually given us the same power to create a physical reality with the words that we speak in every situation that we find ourselves in. It shouldn't be a shock that that is the substance that we too create the world around us. Turn with me to James chapter 3, starting in verse 3. This is a conversation that James has with us about the power of our tongue and how we are to use it. In James chapter 3, starting in verse 3, it says this: "When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants it to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it itself is set on fire by hell." James has some pretty intense opinions about this, doesn't he? And he says, "All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Father, Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. James has some pretty intense words here about the tongue. And I love that he says that the tongue, our words that we use, that they are like a rudder that guides and moves our lives. Now, most of us don't live in a world with ships, right? He was writing this in a context where people were very familiar with fishing boats and using ships. But we don't often use rudders, but what we do use is steering wheels on a very regular basis, right? In fact, how many of you used a steering wheel this morning to get here? Yeah. Now, here's the thing. It's amazing that you have this giant vehicle and yet this tiny little wheel controls where that vehicle goes. If you turn it to the left, your car is gonna go. Your car is gonna go. Yes, if you turn it to the right, your car is gonna go. The strange thing is, I have never turned my car to the left and been shocked that it goes to the right, right? Every single time, it is designed to control that. And in the same way, your speech, your words control and guide and move and direct the direction of your life. That's what James is saying here. That just like a steering wheel in a car, your words determine the destination that your life is heading towards. See, when you're driving your car, you would never just let go of the wheel to go do other things while you're driving, unless you're Carrie Underwood, of course. Jesus, take the wheel in the middle of that. But how often do we find ourselves careless with our words? I mean, this is exactly what he's saying. He's saying, look, if you were to just let go of the wheel while you're driving, hit the gas and say, hey, have at it, you would find yourself in a mess. And in the same way, when we are careless or when we are unintentional with the words that we speak out, we find ourselves in destinations, in places, with attitudes of heart that God never intended us to step into. For so many of us, we find ourselves at moments, we find ourselves in spaces we are careless with our words over our children, over our spouses, over our bosses, over our families, over our physical bodies, over our own spiritual beings, over our mind. If you just think about the conversation that takes place inside of you, about you and others, it gives you a great insight into the direction that your life is heading. It gives you a great insight into the direction that your life is moving. See, so often we speak without thinking, and then we're shocked that we are finding ourselves in destinations that we never longed to be in. Because all the while we've been speaking it into existence, and then we find ourselves stuck here. The crazy thing is, human beings, we can talk ourselves into almost anything. Have you noticed that? We can talk ourselves into almost any destination that we long to find ourselves in. See, this is the power of language, of the tongue. Is that it both forms and informs your spirit. That's what it does. It informs our spirit and it informs our spirit as to where we are going. Have you ever said something that you instantly regretted? Like the second it comes out of your mouth, you're just like, please, how do I get this back, right? I remember I was in college and I went to Cal Baptist University, which is a Christian university. We didn't do dances because dancing led to sex and sex led to dancing. And so we had something called Yule, right? Which was a dinner and some type of entertainment in the middle of that. And so I remember our senior year of Yule, all of my roommates decided we're not going. It's silly, it's dumb, it's stupid. We're not gonna invite anyone. We're just gonna stay home and have a dude's night. All of my roommates betrayed me, right? About a week before the event, they all said, sorry, dude, we got dates, we're going. I'm like, what? And so I'm now desperately trying to find a date to bring to you with me because I'm not gonna be the one out. So I get in the cafeteria that day around lunchtime and I look, survey my land, look at all the available options that are possible in the realm of possibilities for myself at that moment. And I see a friend across the room and I thought, that's it right there. So I became like a cheetah on the hunt, right? I get my lunch, I go sit down next to her, we start having a conversation, and I suavely said, hey, you know, do you have a date to Yule? And she said, no, you know, I don't have a date to Yule, I'd like to go. And I said, would you like to go with me? And she goes, oh, I heard you weren't going. I heard your group wasn't going. I was like, no, we're going. And she said, oh yes, I'd love to go. That would be amazing. Now, the next thing that came out of my mouth, I don't know where it came from, but probably somewhere in the pits of hell, like James talks about. Because the next thing that came out of my mouth was, oh, good, because we weren't going, but then all my roommates got dates, and then I had to find someone fast. And her face went flush white, walked away in silence, and we met up later that night. Needless to say, I did not go to Yule that year. I was alone. But I remember in that moment going, why are you saying this, right? Why are these words coming out of your mouth? You had sealed the deal, everything was okay, and your words had to go create this alternative universe that you never wanted to step into in this moment. But that's the thing, is that words create the relationship that we live in, whether we like it or not. And there are times where we speak things just not thinking about them when we're on autopilot, and they create a very specific future with our marriages, with our kids, with our friends and our families, in every single relationship we find ourselves in. Whoever said sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me was either a hermit or someone who lived with a pack of wolves, right? Because I don't know whoever said that, but it's just simply not true. In fact, neuroscience has known this for a long time. There is something called the Pygmalion effect, which is that if you take a group of kids and tell them that you are worthless and you are dumb and you will not pass these tests that are coming up, guess what happens? Their grades drop. Nothing happened. Nothing's different in the instructions. Nothing's changed in them. The only thing that has shifted in the classroom is someone has spoken into those children, you are not going to make it. It's impossible for you to pass this. You're going to fail. And guess what happens? They start living into the words that were spoken over them. Neuroscience tells you that if you tell yourself that you are getting sick, guess what happens? You will get sick. Because crazy enough is when your mind starts thinking, I'm getting sick, I'm getting sick, I'm getting sick. Your body responds to that by sending all of your antibodies out into the extremities of your body, leaving the openings to your body quite undefended. And so all of a sudden, you are now susceptible to things like the flu and the common cold because your body's trying to fight off a sickness that isn't there. You can actually speak yourself into sickness. And there are some words spoken over us that seem like they almost create deep, permanent spiritual damage over our lives, over our souls. I remember a few years ago, I was sitting on Facebook and someone popped up on my messenger from years ago, and I knew that we didn't have a really great past with one another. And I was, you know, hey, how's it going? Things are going, you know, small talk. And then they sent this long post to me. And I thought to myself, don't read this. You never told yourself, you're like, I shouldn't read this. But I read it, and it was just like, your ministry has hurt so many people, and you're going to be left with the wounded around you, all kinds of stuff. And it cut to the core. In fact, I had to call some people, and I was just like, can you just pray for me right now? Because I feel like these words that I took in that were spoken over me feel like they just cut to the core in a way that wasn't filled with love or grace. Because there are some times where words hurt, but they're filled with love and grace, and they're exactly what we need to hear in those moments. I have people around me that do that, but this was one of those moments that were spoken into me, and it hurts. See, we say things to our kids or spouses, or things are spoken over us, and they create wounds inside of us that feel insurmountable. In fact, with most of the coaching and training that I have the opportunity to do, it's amazing how the problems that we are dealing with today as adults, that the things that get us stuck, the things that hinder us from living the life that we are called to live, often can be traced back to something that was said early on that cut deep. Yep. Someone spoke something like, yep, you're worthless, or you'll never get ahead, or you're unlovable, or you'll never make it. And that truth or that lie was spoken into someone's spirit, and they began living it out. See, these are the way that words form who we are in the middle of that. Have you ever been around like a Debbie Downer? Like no matter what happens in their life, they're constantly speaking negativity over it. I had a friend who won $50,000 in the lottery, and I kid you, the first words that came out of their mouth was, but I have to pay $20,000 in taxes. I'm like, you were just given $30,000 then, right? Like, how is that the first thing that comes out of your mouth in the middle of that? Right? I mean, it's crazy how we find ourselves constantly moved towards those spaces of negativity. See, some people are just permanently jaded by the words that have been spoken over them, and they find themselves living out the same negativity that was spoken over them here and now. See, words stick with us, and they move our spirits. See, I wonder for how many of us, our lives are still actually being steered and controlled and moved by words that were spoken over to us in the past that were never intended to be spoken over us. That there are people from your past that those words have created a physical and spiritual reality for you here and now that is still at the driver's seat of your life, moving you towards a future that you were never intended to move towards. Yeah. See, this is how words move and form us. But Jesus steps in and gives us a possibility to have something new to let go, to shape who we've become. They also inform who we are. See, the scriptures say that from the heart, the mouth speaks. But then we also have the ability to take words and inform our spirit. Just the way that our spirit informs words, we can also actually speak into that. I love David because David wrote all these psalms and he was so raw and honest about where he was at. And there's this moment in Psalms 43 where he's in the middle of the thick of it. I mean, he's just in it. He's having one of those seasons in life. Have you ever had one of those seasons in life where things just don't work? David finds himself here. And in Psalms 43:5, he says this. He says, "Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me?" You know what I love about David? Is that he starts coaching himself, right? He starts coaching his soul. He looks at his soul and he says, "Man, I'm depressed, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, things aren't going the way that I am, but I refuse to speak that out. I refuse to allow that to inform the future because I know that is not the future that God has for me. So soul, why are you so downcast?" Why are you so disturbed? Yeah. Lift your head up, there is hope. Yes. See, this is the way that words also inform our souls. See, on the flip side, we can create life with our words when we speak them over one another and we speak them over ourselves. Not only do they create permanent at times and deep wounding spiritual damage that are in need of a savior to come along and redeem them, but we can use our words to produce life here and now over others and ourselves in the middle of that. I can look back on my life at moments where people have spoken evil of me, but I can also look back at my life and see moments where people have spoken words that have been so life-giving that have shifted the trajectory of my entire future. I remember first starting out at Mosaic and giving my very first talk. I was at a Terra Nova artist retreat full of hundreds of artists, and they asked me to give a 30-minute talk at the very opening session, and I can tell you, I was horrified. I mean, I don't know what happened to the video of it. I wish I had it today, but I was trembling. I was literally shaking that I had to hold on to the pulpit like this. And I remember just giving everything that I had in the middle of it. And then at the end of it, Erwin McManus, who was our lead pastor at that time, he came up to me and he said, "Nathan, you are one of the greatest communicators I have ever heard. You need to keep pursuing this." And I can tell you, I walked away from that immediately feeling, before he said that, thinking, "I'm never doing that again. That was awful. I will never, ever have that experience again." But him coming in and speaking life in that shaped everything from them moving forward, because our words have power to shape future towards life for us and for other people. Jesus did this constantly. He was the master at speaking life and wholeness and healing in other people. Turn with me to John chapter 5, starting in verse 1. In John chapter 5, starting in verse 1, he has this moment with this man who was sick. And it says, sometime later, verse 1, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there's in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate Pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed, people who used to paralyze. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "And sir," the invalid replied. I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Now, here's the thing. I love this, that Jesus asks him, do you want to get well? And his response is all the excuses.
That's right.
Informed by his past.
Yes.
About what hasn't been possible and what hasn't taken place. And he starts to speak out why he will never get healed. Here's Jesus saying, do you want to get healed? He's not even saying, tell me all about, do you even want to get healed? And he immediately goes into, well, I've tried, other people get in before me, it's a kind of a mess, it's a crazy scene, if you only knew what this was like. See, and it seems crazy on this side of the story to hear that this man's giving Jesus all the excuses. But I wonder what happens when Jesus comes to us and he says, hey, would you like a miracle to take place in your life? And you say, well, let me tell you about all the things that have been spoken over me and all the things that I can't do and all of the circumstances that get in the way. Let me just speak those out to you to inform you, God of miracles, what's possible based on what I've experienced. But what I love is that Jesus then said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. Then it said, once the man was cured, he picked up his mat and walked. See, what I love about Jesus is that it doesn't say that he healed him and then said, pick up your mat and walked. He spoke that into him. He spoke out, pick up your mat and walk. He declared a future that wasn't so as if it was so, so that it could be so in that moment. He just started speaking it out, get up and walk, right? And in that moment, those words pierced into them and it created this brand new future. See, what I love is that Jesus sees into the spiritual what is not yet available in the physical, and he begins speaking that out as if it's so that it may be so. Now, how can we get there? How do we find ourselves there? The trick is found in John chapter 8, 25. So turn with me just a few chapters over to John chapter 8, starting in verse 25, and it says this. Who are you? They asked of Jesus. And Jesus says, just what I have been telling you from the beginning, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world. They did not understand what he was telling them about the Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many believed in him in that moment. See, here's what I love, is that the power of Jesus was this, is that he was so intimately connected to the voice of his Father, to the voice of God, that when God spoke, Jesus instantly knew it. He was looking into the spiritual. And as soon as Jesus, as God said something, he was able to then go, now, I've heard it, go walk. Because God's always in the process of speaking out healing and redemption and restoration and making things new. And when we're connected to his voice, we can then speak with confidence into the world around us what's going on. Because in the spiritual dimension, there is something more real than what we can see in the physical. There is something higher and bigger beyond what we could ever ask or imagine that is available in the spiritual, that when we connect to our Father's voice, we can begin proclaiming that here in the physical. Which, by the way, this is not like some weird name it and claim it thing or blab it and grab it, right? This isn't like a Mercedes, right? This is, Father, what are you doing? What do you have available in the spiritual that you are wanting to create here in the physical? Where are you wanting to heal and redeem and restore and bring something new? See, when we're connected to the voice of the Father, our words become life-giving when we speak them out over one another. They transform everything. Which, by the way, oftentimes when we get into this conversation, our natural human conversation goes to, what about my dreams? What about my desires? And what about my needs in this? What I love is that Jesus always comes to us and gives us more than we could ever ask or imagine. See, your dreams and your desires pale in comparison to the grandeur that Jesus wants to create through you and in you. So that when you connect to the voice of the Father and begin speaking out those things over the people in your lives and over your lives, everyone gets elevated. See, I love that in the beginning, his spirit is hovering over the waters and he is waiting in anticipation to speak. He's hovering over the waters, waiting in anticipation for that one word, light, so that there may be light. See, the crazy thing is, I believe God is doing the same thing over every single human being, that he is waiting in anticipation over your life, over your family's life, over your children's life, over your marriage, over your job, over your financial situation. He's going, I'm hovering. And I'm waiting for someone who will connect to my voice and speak, who is brave enough, courageous enough to connect to my life and begin using their tongue, not for death or for curses, but for life. I think he's just waiting who's gonna speak up first. See, the powerful thing in scripture is that God's given us a manual. He says, you are redeemed and alive. You have been brought favor with the King who has everything. You are more than a conqueror. Nothing that can separate you from the great love of God. I am an heir to the throne. There is so much that God has already spoken over you that is true in that spaces, because we are swimming there in the presence of physical circumstances does not mean that that is all that's there. There is a spiritual reality waiting to get awakened. We have to start changing how we speak. I love that James says, from the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. And it doesn't work like that. You can't have them flow from the same space. It will never actually work. Is anyone thirsty in the room? Would anyone like a bottle of water? Anyone like you? Awesome. So would you just take a sip real fast of that? Just tell me, it's a fresh bottle of water. Yeah. How is it?
Good.
Good, awesome, very cool. Can I have it real fast? So it's really nice, especially in a hot room like this, right? Yeah, it's gonna be hot out there. So still fresh, right? So I had my wife this morning go out and pick some dirt from our yard, and it just has a little bit of dog poop in it, all right? So I'm gonna have like an intestinal tiny bit, right? So I'm just gonna stick that in there like that for you, all right? And I'm gonna shake it up just real fast to add some flavor for this, all right? Not a lot, right? There's not a ton in there. You up for this? There's not a lot in there. It wasn't really a big deal.
I teach biology, so.
Oh, you teach biology, so you know what's in there. You know what's in there, right? Yeah. See, the crazy thing is we would have no problem drinking it when it's fresh, right? Because we know that it's pure, that it's okay. But the second we put an infinitesimal amount of dirt in it, there's no way we're drinking that, right? Especially when there's just an infinitesimal amount of dog poop that's probably in here now as well, right? The crazy thing is that we would never do this with a bottle of water. But how often with our own mouths do we speak little curses and say, it's not a big, really, really big deal. It's not really, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, saying this little thing over them or about my life, about them, not a big deal, because it's just a little, just a tiny bit. See, that's what James is talking about. It doesn't work to have fresh water and dirty water working in the same place. They can't flow together because we would never take this and drink it. So why would we ever speak small curses over our own lives and over the lives of others in the middle of that? This is what he says, that we are to align our tongue with the things of God so that we might remain pure, steadfast, alive in him. Which, closing with this, the opposite is absolutely true. That we really have no, I love it when people say we don't really have like a formula to connect with God. It's just kind of like me and him. No, actually the scriptures do give us a formula, which is really nice. Which is in Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and then believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. It's interesting because confess is the word, it's a declaration, it's speech. And belief is the spirit, heart, thought. that lives over here. It's interesting that when our words and our spirit line up and connect to Jesus, it is the intersection of salvation. That when words and belief come into alignment with the creator of the universe, it is the very thing that brings salvation into our lives and into the lives of others. See, believing makes us right with God. It aligns us with him. Speaking and declaring it is what saves us and connects us into life with him. So when we are declaring what is true in the spiritual, we are saved. And the amazing thing is that he will save you over and over and over again. Not just from the fires of hell, but he will save you from hopelessness. He will save you from your circumstances. He will save you from your despair. He will save you from your anxiety. He will save you from your depression. If we connect with him and align our heart and our words and begin speaking out life to create the universe and the world and the future that he dreams for us. Would you just bow your head and close your eyes for a moment? This morning, if you're in this place and you have noticed that you have been maybe speaking things out over your life that have moved you towards hopelessness and despair, maybe you've recognized, man, I've been cursing my life, my spouse, my family, and you're in need of a savior over those things. This is your day. And for some of you, you may have not yet connected to this Jesus who longs to transform not only your words, but he wants to transform your heart so that your words come into alignment with your heart, so you begin speaking life and know life in him. And it starts with relationship with him. So this morning, if you're in this place and you say, I want to connect to Jesus, maybe for the first time or for the second time or maybe for such a long time you've been away, this is your moment to align your heart and to begin speaking out the things that will bring life. If that's you, would you just raise your hand and say, I'm ready to connect to Jesus? Yeah, all over the room. Who else? Yeah, someone else. Just say, I'm ready to connect to Jesus today. Awesome. I want you just to pray this prayer with me. I want you to pray, dear Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my heart. I confess that you are Lord. I confess that you died and rose for me, and I believe in you. Align my heart with your heart that I may begin speaking your truth into my life and the lives of others. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's talk. Join us next week for a new conversation or download the Mosaic Pomona app to continue interacting with the Mosaic Pomona community. Thanks and have a great week.